Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Stranglers, it's Bree.
I just like stared you in the eye, just waiting. I was just waiting for you to go. Hi, everyone. I'm Kylie. Welcome to Perfect Stranglers. So I bought tanner, a self-tanner. I haven't used it yet. I use it on one spot on my arm, and that's it. But here's the thing, is I always go... So I feel like self-tanner, when you're pale like we are... It needs to be used as, like, you have to have your fill color and then your final color. Like, you can't go right in with medium or else it's going to be, like, orange. You need to first do a couple layers of the light to build. And then you can do medium to build on top of that so that you have, like, you're not orange, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how you need to do it.
That makes sense. And so. Seems like a lot of work.
It does.
A little bit risky. Like,
high risk, high reward. And I just, if you're really pale, this is my recommendation because I did it and I liked it. I did a spot on my thigh, like the palest part of my body. I should have just done one butt cheek. In hindsight. I crack myself up. Sorry. Oh, I'm so funny sometimes. So anyway, I should have just went down one butt cheek, but I did my inner thigh and I did one side of it, just the medium color. And the other side, I did light, two layers of light between. And then I did a layer of medium and it was such a better color. You need to have a base fake tan before you put on your medium color.
Mm-hmm.
To some, that's my story.
That makes sense.
Tanny shenanies. That was a good string of butt jokes. Clean butt jokes, though.
Everyone likes a clean butt.
Everyone likes a clean butt joke. You remember the commercials? The Charmin commercials? Charmin. I used to live next to a girl whose younger sister, Trisha, she, instead of going Charmin, you know how that's how the commercial mm-hmm. went, Charmin, she would go Charlene.
She would say
like
what?
The name Charlene. Charlene.
Charlene.
Like the name Charlene. Yeah, she'd go Charlene because that's what she thought the commercial said. Oh my God. So every time you hear Charmin, I think Charlene. But do you remember the commercial of the bears like having lint in their butt?
Yeah.
I always thought that was... Sorry, my neighbors are making noise, I think. Can you hear that?
Mm-mm.
No, it's a banging. They're banging on their truck. Okay, anyway, back to the programming.
A little percussive maintenance.
Yeah, percussive maintenance.
Yeah.
That's so good. But anyway, yeah, that commercial was so cute with the lint stuck on their butts.
Yeah.
So cute. And have you seen the Brawny commercials where it's Selectisize? Is that for toilet paper or is it for paper towel?
I think that's paper towel, yeah.
Okay, this entire time I've been operating under the assumption that it was for toilet paper and you could select a small square of toilet paper.
Oh.
That's what I've been thinking.
Oh. Well, I mean, they're pretty small to begin with.
I know. I was like, whose tiny vagina? Is that's enough to wipe the pee off the tip of your dick and that's it? Like, I can't. I was very confused this whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's paper towel.
Oh, damn it. I should have looked closer at the packaging. Well, Bree, I hate to do this to you. Do you want to do housekeeping? You're so good at it. I can't get it right. I can't get it right what you're going to say for the end of the series.
Okay. As we wrap up season 2 of Perfect Stranglers, we want to thank all of our listeners sincerely. We won't be coming back for a season 3, and it's already too late to submit a story that will be read on the podcast, but we still want to hear your weird and strange paranormal and true crime stories. We'll just do something a little bit different with them. We'll post them to our social media. We at Perfect Stranglers have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Those won't be going away. They'll remain up even after we hang up our podcasting hats. Please follow us on social media to keep in touch. Same goes for our catalog of episodes. Those will remain up. And also, please take a second to give us a rating on whatever platform you listen to us on. We'd greatly appreciate it. Also, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you listen to us on, because you don't want to miss our stacked episode list, and you definitely don't want to miss the finale of Perfect Stranglers.
Just honestly, bravo. It's beautiful.
Curtsy.
You do it so, see, I fuck it up every time. You do so good. So, as you can tell, today we've had a lot of shits and giggles, a lot of poops and ha-has. We're going to keep that going. You never heard of poop and ha-ha? Right. You never heard of poop
no.
and ha? Poops and ha-has. I said that at work once when I had to go into the office. My boss, I said, for poops and ha-has. And she said something to the effect of, I've never heard someone with such a potty mouth make shits and giggles clean. And I was like, thank you. That's a great compliment. So we're going to do, like, we did lighthearted crime a while back. And with all of the bullshit that has been happening in the world, and it's just been really hard to look up murder. So we're going to do lighthearted crime. So this is going to be like, what's the game where we call a mix of things potpourri? Is that Jeopardy?
Maybe.
I think it's Jeopardy. Wheel of Fortune? No, it's Jeopardy. It is. We're going to do a potpourri situation. So I got stories from creepy EMT stories. I have funny police blotter things, like things that are happening in the hood, like police blotter situations. Nice. Just random crime stories. A little bit of everything. I did find some really funny, like, military stories, like basic training stories and stuff. We'll see how long it gets. If there's still some time, I'll add some in there, but because those are hilarious. If you like crude humor, look up funny basic training stories from the military.
Oh,
fucking
geez.
Hilarious.
And just about imagine.
They're so funny. Okay. All of this comes from Ranker, Newsly, Reddit. I think those are the main three. Here we go. This is about pot. So an employee at a call center in Argentina began Monday. Oh, I should say, I don't know what year these all happened. So when I say began Monday morning, I don't mean this past Monday. It could have been Monday 10 years ago.
Okay.
But we're just going to pretend this all happened this week. So employees at a call center in Argentina began Monday morning with chocolate brownies brought to work by a colleague. One woman stopped after one bite, Vice reports, saying the brownie just didn't taste right. The bite was enough to cause problems. She said, quote, my body stopped responding. I stopped feeling my arms in my mouth. It was as if I fell into a well and came back as if I was fading away. The 25-year-old man who brought the brownies was fired, then arrested at his home, where police say they found, quote, 105 grams of marijuana in traces of cannabis and in some kitchen utensils. Seven employees of the Cordoba call center were hospitalized. At least 10 were left dealing with symptoms such as dizziness and a raising heart rate. Some fainted. Police said they haven't confirmed the brownies' ingredients yet, but suspect they included cannabis, per Vice. The employer released a statement saying it provides food only through government-sanctioned vending machines, though employees are in the habit of bringing their own food.
I see.
So this reminds me of a certain story, Brie.
Yeah.
That I don't know if we're airing.
Yeah, I think we're not going to. But if you know me personally, just ask me about it and I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to include this because I was like, this is very similar to something that we may or may not know about. So did I ever tell you about the first time I took edibles or I had edibles?
No,
my friend Emily took me on a beach. It was hot out She gave me some edible popcorn. She gave me one kernel because I'd never taken edibles before. And I was like, fine. And then she gave me another because they're big, right? They're not like small pieces of popcorn. We waited like a half hour, 45 minutes. So I was feeling, gave me another. Waited a half hour, 45 minutes. Gave me another. And after three, I just like sat there and I just watched the water.
Yeah.
It, like with my drink in my hand, but I remember holding my drink so loosely, I don't know how it didn't fall out of my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about edibles is you gotta, they sneak up on you real slow.
Yeah, but the thing is like I never felt like I was totally out of it. I just felt like super calm. I didn't feel like I was like, couldn't function in life. I just felt like, oh, is this what it feels like to not think? Like, I had never experienced not constantly thinking. You know what I mean? And she's, sounds bad, but she was a pro. She was able to just, like, eat popcorn like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And just, like, function. It's like, Emily, I'm drinking and I am doing this. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the second story says, in most instances, police would probably be surprised, if not perplexed, to get a call at 3:30 a.m. reporting a house had been abandoned in the middle of a street. However, it did not take deputies in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, long to identify a suspect. This has been an ongoing situation, is how the sheriff's office put it in a Facebook post, which the Facebook post is freaking hilarious. The comments on it, chef's kiss. Funny. I love when a police station has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, I do love that. Because you need to humanize yourselves. Like, we need to know you're human, you know? So I love that. But it goes on to say, per The Guardian, the deputies say they had previously warned Tony Domague, 49, that he would need proper permits to move his modular home or a mobile home. Those instructions were ignored, and during the move down these are all French. Coteau Holmes Road, many mailboxes, road signs, and trees were damaged in the process.
Oh, boy.
Domague and his alleged accomplice, Nico Camus, it's an E-A-U-X ending, so that's you. Camus. C-O-M-E-A-U-X. Camus. Sure. He was 32. He also managed to hit power lines and knock out electricity to nearly 700 customers for 7 hours. I'd be so pissed. I'd be so fucking pissed. The duo allegedly abandoned the house along with their truck and trailer in such a way that they blocked the 400 block of Burrard Road, and they were arrested within a few hours and charged with violating parish ordinances, obstruction of highway commerce, and criminal damage to property. They are each being held on bonds of $125,000, and additional charges are pending. Like, how do you just hijack a house and then just fucking leave it, you know?
Yeah.
It was a double wide too. It wasn't even a single wide.
Oh my God.
She was a double wide. Oh yeah. She was a double wide.
Nice. So why would you just leave a quality double wide in the middle of the street? Double wides are very sought after.
They are. They are very sought after in the modular home community. If you have a double wide, like, you're living large, literally. Yeah,
you're like kind of rich.
And speaking of, someone who grew up in a mobile home park can confirm.
Yeah.
And if you have siding, like, that's a whole big deal. If you have real siding, like, that's a big fucking deal. In a shingled roof, that is what this man had, and he fucked it up.
Wow.
Yep. Anyway, so this is a different story. In 1931, a 56-year-old named Carl Tanzler was working at a hospital in Florida when he fell in love with a 22-year-old Cuban-American woman named Maria Elena Milargo de Hoyos. When the couple met, de Hoyos was dying from... this is a sad story, possibly. It's, like, kind of sad but creepy. Was dying from tuberculosis, a terminal condition in 1930s. Also known as consumption, we've learned. Throughout that last year of life, Tanzler reportedly showered the young woman with gifts, bought her an expensive mausoleum when she passed, like the whole nine. So after her death, Tansler visited De Hoyo's grave, singing Spanish love songs to her. He later claimed that her spirit encouraged him to remove her from the grave and take her home. So it starts out sad, like loving, and then it gets weird and creepy. So one night in 1933, allegedly haunted by these ghostly requests, Tansler carried De Hoyos back home in a wagon. Over the next 7+ years, Tansler preserved this woman's body. He replaced her skin with silk and wax, stuffed her body with rags to keep its shape, and used perfumes to disguise the smell. It wasn't until the 1940s when De Hoyos' sister, Florentina, stormed into his house with police like right behind her, and the whole situation was discovered. And Tansler wasn't actually prosecuted because the statute of limitations on his initial crime had already passed.
Oh. I know. Isn't that fucking wild?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You got lucky with that one.
Yeah. Like, I've never thought about that. Like, you could commit a crime and get away with it just because enough time has passed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, in August 2016, 22-year-old Jasmine Richardson was set free from a Canadian prison 10 years after her and her ex-boyfriend's convictions. Well, in 2006, a then 12-year-old Richardson and her boyfriend, Jeremy Stanky, I don't want to say it stinky, stanky, stanky, it has to be stanky.
Stanky.
Stanky, yeah. So, in 2006, the then 12-year-old Richardson and her boyfriend, Jeremy Stanky, murdered Richardson's whole family, her parents and younger brother, in cold blood. The crimes took place in the Richardson family's home in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada. Yes, it's called Medicine Hat.
I heard of that.
Yeah. In the months leading up to the murders, this 12-year-old girl reportedly had made a quick transition from like a really nice, bright, happy-go-lucky young girl to really dark and morbid and just like bad.
Yeah.
Authorities claim that this transition was a result of 23-year-old Stanky's influence, mm-hmm. Because Stanky believed himself to be a 300-year-old werewolf.
What?
And that's why she did it. She was influenced by a 300-year-old werewolf, allegedly, that she was dating.
Sure.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah. Huh.
All right. You want to hear a paramedic story?
Yes.
Okay. That's another fun Reddit dive. If you've ever, like, are bored, look up paramedic and EMT stories and, like, nurse stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this guy's name is Matt W., I had the cutest, okay, my plumber today, his name was Matt. I'm just like, I've been talking about him all day in our perfect strangler chat. He was so, first off, he was hot as hell. He knows that he saw me like researching for our next episode. He's like, he looked at me weird. I was like, don't be creeped out. I do this thing. Wouldn't that be bad if he listened to this, like, on an off chance and he heard about this? you know what? He's married. He's getting married. It's fine. It hasn't happened yet, but whatever. anyway, he was like, he asked to smell. He walked in my house. He's like, I have a weird question for you. Can I ask you what that smell is? It smells so good in here. He smelled my happy wax. He took a picture of it to, like, know what it was. And then he was like, and I love your plants. This place is, like, beautiful. I love your plants. And I was like, thank you. And he's like, my daughter has one of these plants. And I was like, does it have the babies growing off? And he's like, yeah, but what do you do with them? And I was like, oh, hold on. And I got all of my glass jars and I showed him all of my roots with my babies. And he was, like, so stoked about it. I kind of want to give him, like, for his daughter, I kind of want to be like, here, give your daughter some of my baby. Like, she could have some of these babies and let her grow some babies.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah, he was so cute, though. He had, like, dimples. Anyway. Kylie has a type, okay? And that type includes dimples. Okay, EMT story, paramedic story from Matt W., not the cute plumber. So a few years ago, I was working on a cruise ship. This is a cruise ship one. Because fuck cruise ships. So,
yeah.
I was working on a cruise ship, and it was a small passenger cruise ship. There were only 200 people. I forget where we were exactly, but we were definitely 20 minutes from the closest port, and a guy goes into congestive heart failure. What's tough with that is the more you move, the more you get your heart rate up, the more you're essentially killing yourself. Being on a ship, it makes it very difficult to evacuate and get to a launch boat, the boat that will take the sick passenger to the shore and the closest hospital. On top of that, I only had the captain's kit, which is a ship's version of a first aid kit, which is very minimal compared to what we have on an ambulance. So there were very few drugs, very little equipment, and getting that guy to shore to meet an ambulance was definitely a task of trying to make him not move and then coordinating where we were going to shore and then meet the ambulance. He ended up needing two of us, the fireman, carry him down the hall and down the stairs to get him to the boat. And for whatever reason, the Coast Guard wasn't able to make an assist. But the guy ended up being okay. He joined the cruise for the second to last day. He just took it easy the rest of the trip. I've never thought about any of that. Like, if you go into heart failure, no wonder so many people die in a cruise ship.
Yeah.
They don't have real EMT equipment on a cruise ship. They have a first aid kit and that's it.
Well, maybe on that small one, but they have, like, an infirmary on, like, big cruise ships. But I don't know
what happens if you need to go to an ambulance. Is there a way to airlift someone?
Probably, but, you know, from what we know about cruise ships, they probably don't really give a damn.
No, they don't. They don't give a damn at all. In that TikTok, you saw that TikTok that I sent you, that cruise ship on fire, yeah?
Yep.
We don't fuck with cruise ships on this. Is Manny going to that cruise?
He leaves tomorrow.
He leaves tomorrow for it?
Yeah.
How long is he gone? How long is he gone?
A week.
Manny.
Yep.
He'll be okay.
I'm not looking forward to it because it's like, well, first of all, we've never not been in the same country. And secondly, like, he's not going to be able to, like, call me. No. Unless, I mean, they have things where you can call from the ship, but it costs an arm and a leg. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Weird. Anyway, back to the podcast. Next story is also from a hospital. Oh, this is another Matt. This, I wonder if this is the same Matt W., paramedic. It says, one of my first calls was a well-being check, which is where the family members and neighbors who haven't seen or heard from someone in a while calls us to check on them, make sure everything is okay. Well, we get there, and the guy has been dead for quite a while. And he's a pretty large dude to begin with. And when we get there, he was pronounced dead immediately. The medical examiner came, and when someone dies, the body swells up and you have to get rid of some of the fluids. The medical examiner decides, okay, we're going to pop him.
Ew. Ew.
And the guy goes on to say, I'm not sure what the correct term for that is, but we're going to have to do that right in the room. And still, after that, he would not fit in the hearse. So we had to wait for the state pickup truck to come. And we ended up driving down the road in a pickup truck, holding the body in the truck to bring it down to the morgue.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine seeing that? Like, if you're in a pickup truck and you're in a semi looking down and you see that?
Ew. I hope they, like, put a tarp or something.
I don't know, but I just, like, the visual is just a lot.
But also, hearses are, like, kind of roomy in the back. How big did he blow it up to? Like, this is like
he must have been massive to begin with.
Right. It's like a Gilbert Grape type of situation.
Yeah, he must have been massive to begin with, honestly.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. All right, so the next one has to do with voodoo. It says, let me tell you a story of Johnny R. Not so much what he said or did, but all of that. Johnny R. came into our jail one night. This is a prison story. Came into our jail one night, ranting and raving, screaming. He was cursed by the voodoo man. Not so unusual here, but Johnny R. was wearing a very nice suit and his wallet had all of the signs of living a normal life, a non-expired ID, a gold Amex card in his name, around $100 in cash. Because of his psychotic state, he went into isolation. Days went by, wouldn't make a phone call, he wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, constantly yelled at everyone to call the voodoo man. To call the voodoo man in Miami to pay him the money. Mental health and medical personnel monitored him. And we even sent him out to the hospital, but none of the experts could tell us anything other than, quote, he's having a psychotic break. Antipsychotic drugs seem to have little effect except to increase his ranting.
Oh my gosh.
Another week goes by. No one calls about this guy. We find out he was an executive working at a local bank, and his employers told us that he was a great employee. He's been arrested for standing on a corner downtown screaming and spitting. He had been arrested for standing on a corner downtown screaming and spitting, and when the officers tried to take him into custody to transport him to a mental health facility, he fought and battered the officers. While in this prison, he lost weight rapidly. He was a really well-built man, about 6'2", 220 pounds when he came in, so he was a big guy. Mm-hmm. But within the 2 weeks that they had him, he was down to 160 pounds. He was dark-complected, but his skin looked gray and just kind of hung on him. And the smell was really, really bad. You could smell him on the whole floor, and it was like nothing you've ever smelled before. Not quite decay, not quite gangrene, not vomit or feces, but all of that rolled together into a rolling funk that traveled extensively throughout the whole floor.
Ew.
With a strange edge of spiciness, not quite hot saucy. And he says, no idea why I remember that so well, but I've never smelled anyone like him before or since. The thing is, the few times he was semi-lucid, you could tell he was an okay guy. He'd plead with you to call Miami and then pay the man and use his Amex card, but he didn't have the number to the man. He said it was in his wallet. We looked, but never found his number. On a Saturday morning, our watch commander got a phone call from someone claiming to be Johnny R.'s mother. She was excited to have found him and told the WC that they would drive to our facility tomorrow to get him. In a thick Haitian accent, she said they had paid the voodoo man and he would be okay now. They could possibly bond him out and take him back to Miami on Sunday. So this person calls the woman Mama. Mama explained what had happened prior to Jimmy's arrest. On vacation from his bank job, he went back to Miami to be with family. While there, he wanted to get in touch with his Haitian roots. He was born in Florida but felt the need to get in touch with where he came from. So he attended a voodoo ceremony, got scarred and wanted to leave, and was cursed by the quote voodoo man, who said he would become a zombie if the voodoo man was not paid a certain amount of money in a specified time. Johnny didn't think much of that threat, and despite the warnings from his family, laughed it off and went back to work. The day the debt remained unpaid, his descent began. We worked with the judge and the arresting officers to get the charges dropped if the family took him home. I went up to his isolation cell to tell him the family was coming to get him, and there was no smell at all. His color was back. He was still thin, but he was sitting on his bunk, eating lunch, and completely lucid. He was delighted to be told, he was delighted and told me he knew his family was coming because he knew the man was paid. Sunday, his whole family, about seven of them, came to the jail to get him, dressed in their church clothes. I talked with his mother, a delightful lady in a light yellow skirt suit wearing a fabulous feathered hat. She thanked me for helping her son, and as he walked out of his wrinkled suit, a rope holding up his saggy pants, she told me, "You have to pay the voodoo man. He should have known that." The guy says, "I posted this on Reddit a while back and was thoroughly disbelieved. But I was there, and this happened. Best believe I ain't messing with no voodoo."
No. No way.
He essentially turned into exactly what the voodoo man said, a zombie, until the debt was paid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that fucking weird?
That would be... Wow. Just hanging out in jail, smelling like a zombie.
Because of the voodoo man, and you didn't pay the voodoo man.
You gotta call Voodoo Mama Juju.
Yep.
Get yourself fixed up.
So weird. I could not. Like, the smell, the description of that smell was...
I'm a little curious as to what that smell smelled like.
Not quite. So, I'm gonna say it again. Not quite decay. Not quite gangrene. Not quite vomit or feces. But all of that rolled together into rolling funk that traveled extensively, with a strange edge of spiciness. Not hot saucy. So I'm thinking more like vinegary. You know, hot sauce has that vinegary smell to it.
Yeah. Huh. I can't imagine it.
I'm thinking, have you ever smelled a deer on the side of the road?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So I'm thinking, picture deer on the side of the road with garbage, with probably some dairy in there that's been in there for a while. Pour some hot sauce on that and maybe some vomit.
Ugh. Yuck.
And the whole floor smelled like it.
That's nasty.
So fucking gross. All right, so this is going to be a nurse story. So it says, there was a hallway deep in the bowels of my old hospital located one floor under the medical school. And nobody walked down it. It was quote-unquote haunted. Every person you spoke to would say the same thing. It just felt evil. I thought it was total bullshit. So one night around 3 a.m., I had nothing to do, so I said, fuck it. I'm gonna go walk through this place and see what the deal is. And it was real. As soon as I turned the corner, everything just felt cold. The hair on my arms stood straight up. The corridor felt like it was slowly closing in around me. And my entire body just felt wrong. Like there was some malevolent force staring straight at me. I instantly said, fuck that shit, turned around and left quickly and never went back. It was the only experience I've ever had, but it was plenty enough for a lifetime. Have you ever been in a place where you just step in and you're like, nope, you gotta turn around?
Yes. It was an antique store in the Wisconsin Dells.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some haunted artifacts in it.
Oh, definitely.
Antique stores creep me out because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so do garage sales, because you never know what you're purchasing.
Yeah.
Like if you get like furniture from a garage sale, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
Well, anything. Anything.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Music box, a piano, literally anything.
Music boxes creep me out. Unless they're purchased new from a store, like, no.
Yeah.
Hard pass. All right. We're going to finish out here with some police blotter things. Police blotter reports. Okay. It says, Friday, Walmart. Police receive a report of a newborn infant found in trash can. Upon investigation, officers discover it was only a burrito.
What? I mean, why did they think that was the burrito?
Had
crying?
You there in the beginning. It must have been a really big burrito.
Yeah. I mean, some newborns are the size of a burrito.
Well, some newborns are tiny and some burritos are really big. So I can see. I can see why. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Okay. So I don't know if this is Grand Rapids, Michigan, or if this is Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Okay.
Or if there's another Grand Rapids I don't know of. But it says, police solve case of the missing bacon. A Grand Rapids resident told police last week that someone had entered his home during the night and taken 5 pounds of 5 pounds of that's 5 packs of bacon from the refrigerator. Upon further investigation, police discovered his wife had gotten up for a late night snack but was afraid to admit it.
What? She ate 5 pounds of bacon?
Yeah.
How is that humanly possible?
The human body's an amazing thing.
Oh, I bet she had the meat sweats.
I bet she shit like liquid the next
day. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. All that fat? God, that just slid right out of her.
Ooh.
Ew. All right. So police were informed on February 25th by a resident of the 1,000 block of Raritan Drive that a family in the area is taking over the minds of local dogs and turning them against their owners. Police were advised by the person that the only way to protect a dog is to install an anti-force field on its head before letting the animal go outside.
Oh.
That's a real police report.
Oh. Huh.
They published that in a newspaper.
Wow. I would hate to have to answer that call.
Like, how do you keep your chill, you know, and not laugh?
Right.
Because I couldn't do it.
Do you refer them to some mental health thing? Because that sounds completely unstable thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do at that point. Right. Laugh and be like, okay, you go here. I don't know. All right, burglary. A 38-year-old Cole Avenue man reported that his home was invaded on September 9th. The man said that he was sitting home alone, masturbating and watching a pornographic movie when a man came down into the basement holding a gun and started to videotape him. The man said that before he left, the intruder fed his dog some mushrooms and the dog died. Just a lot of there's a roller coaster of events happening there.
Yeah.
Imagine going to rob a house. You think you're like gonna get like do the thing. You see a guy masturbating and you're like, this is great content. Start recording him. You know?
Yeah.
How the turntables, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what kind of mushrooms were these? And how big was the dog? Cause
I have no idea. That's kind of like why I like police blotter report things, because it's so much in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And you want to know more, but you can't.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure dogs can eat mushroom, like, you know, like regular mushrooms.
These had to have been magic ones.
Magic mushrooms? Mm-hmm. A dog could eat magic mushrooms and survive. I guess it depends how many they ate and how big the dog is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah. All right. 2:58 p.m., the Learning Center on Hanson Street reports a man across the way stands out the window for hours watching the center, making parents nervous. Police ID the subject as a cardboard cutout of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's funny. That reminds me of... Imagine like
innocently having that, not knowing it's causing all of this stress for everyone.
No, that reminds me of a story, though, of I can't remember. Was it? I don't remember if it was for our podcast or where. I can't remember, but where I've heard this story, but it was these neighbors and they're like, can you stop? Like, can you have your son stop, like, just staring into our house at night? And as it turns out, it was a cardboard cutout in front of a window, and at nighttime when they would turn the light on, it would look like, you know, a silhouette of just like someone just standing there, like they were looking into their house. Oh my god,
how fucking creepy. Nope, hard pass. All right, a 34-year-old Mount Pleasant man was arrested Wednesday and lodged at the Isabella County Jail for domestic assault and pulling the arm of a woman and hitting her in the head with a submarine sandwich.
Oh.
I specifically picked this because they said submarine sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Not a sub.
Yeah.
A submarine sandwich. Everly calls subs seb, S-E-B, a seb. Can I have a seb? And I don't know why. He's gonna have seb. And I was like, no, a sub. Yeah, seb. I don't get it. But yeah, submarine sandwich. All right, last one. Police checked the area and found an open door in the back of the building. An officer went inside and called out, Marco! The man's name was not Marco, Detective Tim Dorr said. Instead, quote, the officer was trying to inject some humor into the situation. Police found the suspect after he responded, Polo.
Oh my god. Oh. That's hilarious.
All right, that's all I got for you guys today.
All right. I like
cornucopia.
Yeah.
Cornucopia of crime. Crime and weird shit.
Mm-hmm. It's good to laugh every now and again.
Huh?
It's good to laugh every now and again.
It is. Like, we all just really needed a not serious, like, laugh.
Mm-hmm.
After everything that has happened in the world, we just needed a little bit of a shits and giggles, poops and ha-ha time.
Yeah. You for know, sure. Why don't we continue that mood for next week, too? How about we do that?
Love it.
Okay.
Love to hear it.
Cool.
All right, guys. We will chit-chat with you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.